Sorry if I'm croaky. We've got coughs in our house. So good morning, everybody. For those I haven't met, I'm Anna, and I'm married to David, who's out the back with the kids. We've got three little children who keep us up at night, as they do. We're both involved in the worship here, have been for a long time. I've been involved since I was a teenager with singing, and then gradually started to get into worship leading and songwriting, which I'm really passionate about. But before I get into the talk, I actually just wanted to honour my parents, Marty and Chrissy Beatty. They don't know it, and Dad is, you know, in India, so maybe he'll hear this another time. But they started this vineyard 20 years ago, and I'm so thankful, Mum and Dad, that you followed God's leading and you stepped out to do this. It has been a massive part of my life and has had a wonderful impact on my relationship with God. I know it hasn't been an easy journey, and there's always a cost involved, but your passion for the presence of God, for his kingdom, for his gifts, has meant that I have learnt to swim in a beautiful, safe environment. Still learning. We were really just hunger for God's heart, to know him, enjoy him, and be transformed by him. And now my children get to do the same. It's amazing. I couldn't have asked for more, and I'm so grateful. Watching the way you pursue God and how you worship him, how you seek his presence, has been so influential. You always encourage me not to hold back, not to lose the expectation I have for more, even when I feel like I'm making a complete fool of myself. You encourage me to keep going, and I'm really thankful. So, they're amazing. They do an amazing job. I'm going to be talking a bit about worship today, but it's not so much why we worship. We worship because God is worthy. You know, that's it, full stop. That's why we worship. But I wanted to talk more about some of the things that can happen as we worship. Some of the fruits or the benefits, if you can say that, of worship. So James asked if I would speak about worship in relation to transformation. So in a sense, becoming like the one we worship. And I'm really passionate about worship, as I said. I love that worship is a vineyard value. We see it as an important part of what we do and who we are. We are all worshippers. We are lovers of God. It is who we are. And so we don't rush our times of worship here. We go on a bit of a worship journey together, glorifying God and enjoying his sweet yet powerful presence, waiting on him to see what he wants to do. And this is something that I get really excited about. Every time we gather, David and I hate being late for worship, but with three little E's to get out the door in the morning, we often find ourselves late, missing the first song or whatever, and we're always kicking ourselves. Worship is a highlight of our week. Maybe that says something about our week, I don't know, but no, we just love it. I don't think there's anything better, just being in God's presence, giving him glory. Transformation has been the topic here for the last month or so. It's been really amazing. But I must admit, when I read the statement, "We become like the one we worship," I really questioned whether that was true and wrestled with it. My initial reaction was to doubt. God, I've been worshiping you for a long time, since I was a little girl. And I just can't see the transformation in me that I want to see, that I would expect to see. I know that he strengthens me in my weakness. He enables me to worship lead or to speak when I'm, by nature, I'm shy. I know that he works through us like that, but I just can't see, I suppose, the characteristic changes that I want to see in me happening. I suppose, you know, quickly. My thoughts went inward, and I let the accuser show me all my weaknesses and failings, much like Chris spoke about last week. If you haven't heard that talk, I would have a listen. It's really, really good. I cried out for God's reassurance, and he kindly reminded me that I am made in his image, that I am filled with his spirit, that in his time, which is not the same as our time, he will work to complete what he has started. He is the God who transforms. I need to keep my gaze upon him who is faithful. I just need to look up. I felt like he wanted to encourage you this morning and me with a word. So you can take it or leave it, but I think it's encouraging. And I want them to know that they are made in my image, that they don't have to worry about the little things like I had been. He doesn't see it. I see the bigger picture of transformation in their lives. I want them to know that I love them. I love their songs. I love their hearts. I love that they come to meet with me. I love it. It is just like the words of the thankful song from Bethel Music. You don't have to come. And he says this to us. You don't have to come, but you always do. You show up in your splendor and you change the room. Yes, it is like that song, Anna. I am moved by their coming, when there are so many other things that they could be doing. I want them to know that they are powerful worshippers, reflecting me and my glory and love, my sons and daughters, my beloved. I see beauty. I see craftsmanship, uniquely crafted, my image upon and within each one. You all come together to create a beautiful masterpiece, and each week it is slightly different. Wow, what a delight, what a treat, such joy to my heart. Tell them they bring me so much joy. I am thrilled by them, each one. I am so thankful. Anna, that's what I want you to share, okay? Okay. Cool, isn't it? Actually, it reminded me of the word I think Wayne had during worship. He is captivated by us. We are his workmanship, the work of his hands. We might only get a few seconds to actually concentrate on worshipping before being tugged away by a little person, you know, or losing our concentration, being distracted, whatever. But he loves our worship. He knows our hearts and our hearts' desire. He isn't a God who is far away listening to our songs and critiquing our quality. Wow, this is good today. Ah, a bit out of tune. Not my favorite song. Think I'll go and listen to Bethel instead. I'm so glad he's not like that. I think sometimes maybe we're like that. The word says he is near to us. He is near to us. In him we live and move and have our being. It's Acts 17. And he is moved by our praise. It makes no difference to him whether we are musical or not. We are all worshippers with a song to sing, and he loves our songs. The song that comes from a yielded heart through all the seasons of life that we go through. We all have a song to sing. You see, what so excites me about worship is that I know that as we come to him to glorify him, to sing of his worth and all that he has done, we aren't just singing songs to a God who is silent and distant, although it may feel like that at times. We are engaging with the Lord Almighty, the creator of the universe, the one who transforms. We are engaging with him. We are entering into a conversation with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that can never be boring. Religion makes it boring. Just doing it because I have to makes it boring. I've said that. Religion makes it boring. But we have been invited into a relationship. We have been called by name, robed in the righteousness of Jesus, and invited into the courts of the King to fellowship with a good, good Father. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, But now he has reconciled you by God's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. That's Colossians 1, 21. He is the one who first loved us. He is the one who said in Exodus that he would redeem us with an outstretched arm, which he did through sending his perfect son Jesus to brutally die for us on a cross with outstretched arms. And then raising him to life, raising us up with him, he has shown us that he loves us. He has shown us. He longs for us like the father running to embrace his prodigal son returning home. Arise, come, my darling. Come, my beautiful one. Come with me. From the Song of Songs. That is his heart for his bride, for us. Come, my darling. And knowing his heart for us, we are propelled to respond in worship. Encountering his love moves our hearts to praise. And he replies. This is why our times of worship are always unique and unpredictable and never routine. We can come with our hearts set to praise, full of expectation, because we worship a God who loves us so extravagantly. His love conquers fear, shatters darkness, and breaks strongholds. And we engage with him. We set our gaze upon him. And of course, we will bear witness to his transforming power. And he comes to meet us wherever we're at. We don't need to strive. We don't need to pretend to have it all together. We just need to lift up our eyes. And even then, he can help us do that. We just ask. Again and again in the Word, we are told to lift up our eyes, to lift up our heads. Why? As we lift up our eyes and place our attention upon the one who is faithful, even if it's just for a minute or a second, we are given a new perspective. The things that bother us become less significant somehow. We see God in his glory, robed in splendor and majesty, victorious and triumphant, yet holding us in the palm of his hand. And we sing out, our God is greater, our God is stronger, God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, and our God is the lion of Judah. He's roaring in power and fighting our battles. And the very action of lifting up our eyes, our heads to worship, we are taking our gaze off our failings, off our circumstance, off the hideous things that are going around, that are happening in the world. And we are refusing to be absorbed by worry, by fear, by doubt and inadequacy. We are refusing to let those accusations, those lies of the enemy take root. And we are allowing the goodness of the Father, who he is, to fill and renew our minds. It may be momentary, but it is powerful. By turning my attention towards the Father, I feel like I am saying this. I will not be pulled down, Satan. I will not doubt God's power, even though my children always seem to be sick and life just feels overwhelming at times, you know, whatever circumstances we're going through. I will not doubt God's love for me and his goodness. I choose to lift up my eyes in the dark of the night. Even though I am exhausted and want to retreat into pity, I will declare the praises of my God, for he is in control and he is near to me and he is victorious over you. During the week, I listened to an inspiring talk by Bill Johnson. He's the pastor of Bethel Church. The talk was called A New Song for a New Day. I was thinking we should have just asked him to come and speak. Oh, man. He would have done this so well. He spoke about how the gates of praise are formed in each one of us. In Psalm 24, I'm just going to paraphrase him a little bit here. They're not all my words. In Psalm 24, we read, "Lift up your heads, O your gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle." And this is cool. In Isaiah 60:18, the gates were called praise. In Revelation 21:21, the gates we see were made out of pearl. Pearls are formed through irritation. So the gates of praise are formed in our life when we go against circumstances and glorify Jesus anyway. Something is shaped in us. I love this picture of the pearl. I was reading how the pearl is formed through an irritant, like a parasite finding its way into the oyster or the clam or the mussel. And as a defense mechanism, a fluid is used to cover that irritant. Layer upon layer is deposited. The irritant is like the hardships in life, our struggles, the things we face and go through. The defense mechanism, our defense mechanism, is praise. And over time, something of great beauty, of great worth, is formed within us. Gates of pearl, gates of praise. It is easy to glorify God after we get the breakthrough, the answers to prayers, when the good things happen. But it is through lifting our countenance in spite of circumstance that the gates of praise are formed. And it is through these gates of praise that we see the King of glory come, the triumphant one, the Lord who is strong and mighty. Yes, he is merciful. He draws near to comfort. But he is also the King of glory who responds to the songs from our hearts. He responds to our praise as a mighty man of war. In Isaiah 42, we read, "Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise from the ends of the earth. The Lord will march forth like a mighty man, like a warrior. He will stir up his zeal. With a shout, he will raise the battle cry and will triumph over his enemies." As we praise, God himself stirs himself up as a man of war to go forth and do exploits on our behalf. He brings about the victory on our behalf. Wonderful, isn't he? I find this so encouraging. What the enemy intended for evil, the troubles that we face and the situations that overwhelm, we can use as fuel for our songs of worship and praise. And this becomes our offering. In 2 Chronicles 20, we read an amazing story about King Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah. He was told, "A vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the sea." Jehoshaphat was alarmed with good reason, but he resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. The people all came together from every town to seek help from the Lord. They cried out to God, proclaiming his power. "O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. We have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." And all the men of Judah, with their wives and children and little ones, stood there before the Lord. Then God spoke to them through Jahaziel, and he said, "Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance of the Lord." As we worship, we take up our positions in Christ. Yes, we are seated in Christ with the Father in the heavenly realms. I think sometimes I forget that. We are seated up there with that authority because of him. We stand firm with our eyes fixed upon him who has overcome. And we let him do. We let him do. After King Jehoshaphat was given the word of encouragement, the Bible says he bowed down with his face to the ground. And all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down and worshipped before the Lord. Can you imagine? Then a group of Levites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." All they could see was an army against them, but they held on to the promise they were given, and they praised. And as they praised, the Lord set ambushes against the army, and they were defeated. They slaughtered each other. Judah looked out upon the vast army and saw only dead bodies. They spent the next 3 days retrieving the plunder. And on the fourth day, they gathered in the valley of Baraka, which means praise. And there they praised the Lord. They returned to Jerusalem, joyfully praising God, and went to the temple with harps, lutes, and trumpets. As Judah worshipped, as they lifted their eyes up and fixed their gaze upon God and his promise for them, the gates of praise were formed, and God moved powerfully on their behalf. Instead of a mindset of fear, they chose in that terrifying situation to worship, to trust, giving thanks and worship before, during, and after the battle. How amazing, how inspiring. I pray for a mind like that. Philippians 4:6-8 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ." Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And I think that's a beautiful description of who God is. Last year I wrote the song The Banquet, which we sometimes sing in our worship times. I wrote it during a time when I felt, overwhelmed by life, desperate for God's presence. I had a little baby who just seemed so unhappy. I reckon he literally screamed most of the day and night. That's what it felt like. Even driving in the car wouldn't make him happy. I was totally exhausted. I was spent. David told me one evening to go and have 5 minutes peace in the bedroom to escape for a bit. So off I went and picked up the guitar. And I just started to sing, "Jesus, I'll rest at your feet, in your presence I'll stay, in your presence I'll stay." I didn't know what else to say or pray. This was a song that came from my heart. This was my declaration, my standing firm. Very quickly, I could hear the pitter-patter of little feet, the clanging and banging as drums were being dragged out from under the beds, and two little people arrived at my door. Ben and Abby came to join me for my 5 minutes of peace. And I was thinking, there's that cool verse in Psalms 8:2, "From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger." This is from children. So they were probably sent to help me in that moment, to be my choir, my band. Oh, anyway, I'm just going to show a glimpse of that, if I can get this organized. Sorry, it's at the bottom of a long list of songs that I need to finish writing one day. Yeah. Technology is so good sometimes. There we go. Yeah, they're a good little band, they are. I look back and I smile at that moment of 5 minutes peace. I thought I needed a quiet rest alone, space to breathe. But actually what the Father thought I needed was a new song. Or 5 minutes to let that song come out anyway. A song of worship to sing in the battle, to sing through the season that I was in. A fresh revelation of his love for me and his goodness. My head was lifted up above the waters to see as he sees. And there is no place I would rather be than here with you, my humble king. You call my name, you welcome me. You are so good. You take my rags of brokenness. You robe me in your righteousness. You lift my head and you restore. You are so good. So to the banquet I come running desperately to feast upon the sweetest of honey. It's your living water, it overflows. You are so good. Yes, you are so beautiful. Yes, you are so beautiful. Jesus, I'll rest at your feet. In your presence, I'll stay. I just want to encourage you this morning to stand firm, stand your ground, rise up and worship despite your circumstance, and know that God stirs himself up on your behalf because he loves you to do battle. Whether we see his response or not, we trust in him who is faithful. As we lift our eyes up, we lean back into his faithfulness and rest. Secure in the knowledge of who he is. He is not idle. He is not deaf. He is the creator, the healer, the deliverer, and the restorer, victorious and triumphant, the lover of our souls. And we join in conversation with him and engage with him who is wisdom. Him who is love, him who is truth, and he always replies. His heart is for us, and his desire is for us to be in close communion with him as friends. As we yield our hearts to him in worship, our minds are being made new, and the beautiful gates of praise are being formed in our lives. We are being transformed. He is just so good. I'm just going to read from Psalm 27, which is an awesome psalm. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. And then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Hey, so good. I'm not quite sure how to end it, but we just stand. Stand with me and we'll pray. Yeah. You know, maybe you're in a difficult season and you need a song. A song to sing as you drive the car, as you're in the bathroom, as you're doing the dishes, as you're walking to work or into school. A song to sing from your heart. Or maybe you need a fresh revelation of God's love for you, that will propel you to praise, propel you to worship. a reminder that he loves you so dearly, that he is near to you. So I'll just pray into those things now. Oh Lord, you are so good. I thank you so much for your amazing love, your extravagant love that you have shown to us, that you continue to show us. I thank you for your presence with us, that you are near, that you are near to the brokenhearted, that you are near to the weak, you are near to the despised, and you lift us up in the palm of your hand, and you call us your sons and your daughters. You call us your beloved, your beautiful one. You call us, and you say, come away with me. Come away with me. Come away with me. I ask for more of your presence now to rest upon us. Holy Spirit, rest upon us. Bring a fresh revelation of the Father's love. Speak into each mind, into each heart right now. We wait on you. We wait on you. We lift our eyes up to you who is faithful. We lift our eyes up to you who is steadfast. You who is the conqueror. You who has overcome. You the victorious, triumphant one. You the lover of our souls. We lift our eyes up to you. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would stir up within us a new song of praise. A new song of praise. Through all that we're going through, let that song be released. Released from our lips, into the situations, into the environments, into the atmosphere. Let that song arise. Let that song arise. You are so good. You are so good. You are so faithful. You are so true. You are mighty. You are strong. You are so good. You are so good. I thank you that you give us beauty for ashes. That you robe us in garments of praise instead of a spirit of despair. That you lift us up. I thank you that you anoint our heads with oil so that we will overflow. That you prepare a table for us, even though we may be surrounded by enemies. You prepare a table for us in that place, a banqueting table, so that we may feast with you in all that we go through. You are always with us. You long for us. You are the one who refreshes. You are the one who restores. And we feast at your table, Lord, all the days of our lives. Yeah. Amen.